Luck on Sunday, brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.
Now, the case of George Gently, Dan Skelton et al., has come to a conclusion. This was revealed by Dan Skelton on social media yesterday, and I've got the statement. Dan Skelton says, I'm relieved that the BHA proceedings against me have come to an end. This has been a very difficult 6 years. 6 years. And at times I've very much needed the support of those around me, which was unreservedly given and for which I'm so thankful. I've been fined £6,000 and the BHA released this information to me on Thursday night. There is a date amendment to be made in the findings, which is why it has not been released publicly. I simply didn't want to drag this out any longer. And the prospect of a first full night's sleep in 2049 days is a happy thought. Now, what really interests you are not the technicalities of written reasons or when this is going to be released. What interests you is what the sanction is and why the sanction has been given. And this indicates it to some extent, though it should be added, we have not got the written reasons yet. I made a couple of mistakes. The independent chair who scrutinised this case has made both reprimanding and mitigating comments about me and my actions that I accept. I felt it was best to bring this to a conclusion as swiftly as possible. The BHA have rightly investigated this matter. However, it has taken far too long and has had many costs, financial and personal. Now this matter is finally concluded. I look forward to getting on with the job I love, which, thanks to the unanimous support of my owners, sponsors and staff, has continued to thrive despite this hanging over me for so long. Now, I have been in touch with the BHA this morning, and the comment from the BHA is that they have confirmed to me that the reasons, the written reasons and full statement will be issued tomorrow. So we will be much better informed tomorrow. And they say, we of course understand why Dan issued his statement yesterday and recognise the toll this episode has placed on all involved. That's what they're saying this morning. I think there was a feeling, Maddie, within the BHA yesterday that they would rather have released this as one. But from the public's point of view, the public are interested in, has this case been played out correctly? Is the sanction appropriate for what he's been charged with? And what can the sport learn from this moving forward in terms of the way that trainers sell horses to owners and how bloodstock is perceived generally?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these transactions, we don't know everything about. And in this case,
we may know more tomorrow.
We will know more tomorrow, but we don't know the details of this case just yet. My initial reaction.
Well, we know the details of the case, we don't know the details of the findings.
The findings, yeah.
That's the point.
My initial reaction to this was 6 years is an awfully long time. Obviously, it went to a civil court as well. The case was dropped for a period of time, which naturally means it's going to drag on longer. This is not what we want in horse racing. This is a high-profile case that has taken a long time to sort out and involves one of the biggest trainers in the sport. And, yeah, I think it's that usual thing, isn't it? We want transparency, we want fair processes, and we want the BHA as a regulator to be doing its job.
The interesting point about this, and I mean, Paddy, you may have some reflections on this as well, is that if you get lawyers involved in anything, it is going to drag out your process. Now, the BHA get... You know, rightly criticised sometimes for the delay in their processes, but if this has gone through court, then they have to pause their processes while it goes through court. If you are employing a succession of different barristers, as you know, both sides did in this instance, you know, my learned friends are going to hang around, and this isn't going to take 5 minutes.
Yeah, it has dragged on. Like last week, Dan was in the Sunday Times. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for racing. It's not good for Dan and his family. But like Dan's openly admitted, he may have made a couple of mistakes, and you know he hasn't slept for, I think he said, 2,000 and something days. Well, if you're not sleeping, you're obviously worried about something. So let's just move on from there.
Okay. Well, we will find out a little bit more tomorrow as regards the written reasons for this case. But the BHA sounding a conciliatory note to Dan Skelton, I think, this morning in terms of the way that this has been handled. I think they were clearly concerned that a lot of us would perceive that the timing of the announcement was not ideal. I think they were anxious, Maddie, that people would think they were, you know, burying bad news on the eve of Cheltenham. I think they're very keen to stress that they feel that the media should be given the chance to scrutinise this and the findings properly in the fullness of time. So you will find out a little bit more about that case tomorrow. Kieran O'Neill is a jockey who was stood down from his rides earlier in the week at an evening fixture because one of the new swab tests, one of the piloted swab tests, had returned a non-negative result. It was indicated to him at the time by the person conducting the tests that his urine test at the time showed him to be clear. He was then stood down from his rides. He has had a fuller urine sample sent off. We're still waiting for the analysis of that. He was permitted to ride at Kempton the following day on the production of a negative swab. But he had plenty to say, as you can see from these tweets. And again, the BHA has been forced to suspend this pilot until they have a fuller picture of what's going on.
Well, I think they have to, don't they? This is another case in point where the saliva testing has let the whole process down somewhat by its questionable accuracy. We saw it with Sean Levy, didn't we, when his urine sample came back clear as well. So Paddy would speak on this as well. But if you're a jockey and you feel wronged and your name's been besmirched, the effect that can have on you in terms of you obtaining rides, your reputation, etc., your mental health, it's huge, isn't it, potentially?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm one of the people that, you know, have asked for more drug testing. And if Kieran is innocent in this case, which it sounds like he is, you know, I feel for him and his family. But, you know, the BHA are trying to do the best they can to get to the bottom of drugs. And, you know, this testing mightn't have worked out, but we've got to keep on top of that in racing.
So you feel that this is an unfortunate consequence, but the intention underpinning it is the correct one. You feel that more of these rapid, instant swab testing kits are the way forward?
100%. I don't think anyone should be going out to ride in a race that there could be someone that could be under drugs or whatever, and we've got to make sure that's got on top of and makes the game safer.
But Kieran O'Neill is adamant that he is entirely innocent. There's absolutely no reason to doubt his probity in this. If you've listened to the interview he gave me earlier, and if you listen to what he's been saying, and if you talk to people around him, I think there are those within the authority, Maddie, who might argue that his subsequent urine test could yet come back with some trace of a metabolite of cocaine that was there because it was a contaminant. I'm not saying this will happen, but it might happen. So therefore, do we need to rethink thresholds in this respect? That if something is clearly so negligible that it must be a contaminant, you know, how much of a danger could that person possibly be posing?
It's a difficult one, and I think that the key thing that I was reminded of just then is that this is a pilot with the saliva tests, and as Paddy said, that shows good intention. You know, we tend to see more positive tests on the flat than over jumps these days, but clearly the BHA trying to get a handle on this issue.
It's also a zero tolerance thing, isn't it, Paddy? You can ride if there is a hint trace of alcohol in your bloodstream, right?
Yeah.
A bit like you can drive a car.
Yeah.
But if there's a trace of what is an illegal substance, you can't, even if that is likely to be a contaminant.
Yeah, definitely. And like we say, you know, on this occasion, there could have been a mistake, but I wouldn't knock the BHA for trying to get on top of it.
OK. Let's talk about Cheltenham, Maddie. And again, coming out of the authority, but a different branch of it, already people trying to preempt the likelihood of a greenwash.
Yeah, I think that.
And what we're going to do about it? What's the sport going to do about it?
The bookies are adamant that it's going to be another Mullins sort of bonanza, which the prices will tell you that. You know, odds on favourites at the Cheltenham Festival, particularly ones of the trained by Willie Mullins, have increased in recent years. I feel a bit sorry for the BHA because they obviously want to wait and see how this festival goes before they analyse the performance of it, and obviously the investigation that took place after the 2022 festival, I think it was, to redress that balance between Britain and Ireland. That's going to largely be taking place when it comes to the handicapping system. But I think it's undeniable that the Irish have the better horses at the moment. They have the better owners who are pumping more money in, and they have the monopoly on the bloodstock. So Britain aren't going to suddenly reverse that anytime soon, as much as I can see. So to say we'll wait and see, I can't imagine this year's festival, yes, in the handicaps, but I can't see this year's festival being some massive turning of the tide.
OK, what do you think, Paddy?
Yeah, like, nothing lasts forever. Like, Willie Mullins' domination is incredible, you know, and I take my hat off to him. I've been with an owner previously, and he was trying to get a horse sold to him, and he's just never resting on his laurels. He's on to the next one. He's never just thinking, I've got 10 chances at Cheltenham. He's thinking of the next Cheltenham. And I honestly take my hat off to that man, and he won't last forever. I was, remember Paul Nicholls, Denman, Kairos Darren, Mastermind. I can go on. These things will come back. They'll come back to Britain, but,
Are the British getting any better at finding the raw materials?
I've said this in the past. I think it's going to get a little bit more worse before it gets better. It will get better, but unfortunately, for the near future, it'll just get a fraction worse before it starts to go back up.
How? How do you think it's going to
get
better?
Because the buying of horses in Ireland's incredible. Willie, Gordon, Henry de Bromhead. They've got first pickings on the best Irish pointers. Yep. They've got first pickings on horses before they run in pint to pints. They're so far ahead. It's raw material. If you can have
so why is Britain going to get any better?
Because they'll come out the other side. Maybe Britain are in slight recession at the minute. The money is maybe in Ireland. That will swing round.
Well, the British owners or the British-based owners still want to have all their horses trained in Ireland. And if and when, the circle starts to move, then...
Well, prize money. And we could go on about this all day, but...
But is it just prize money?
Well, if you look at Willie Mullins, you want to have a horse there, wouldn't you? Because he's got the most winners at Cheltenham. But that's not always the case. There's so many good trainers in this country. I've ridden for a lot of them. They can do the same with the material.
If you're paying $600,000-$700,000 for a gelding that's got no residual value, do you really care about whether the prize money for a Grade 2 novice chase at Nace is more than a Grade 2 novice chase at Ascot? Which, of course, it isn't. That's a big myth.
No, I get that. And if you're paying that much money for a horse, especially over jumps, you probably need your head examined. It's tough, It's not Imperial Commander costs $40,000, It's not always the money will buy you the success. But, look, Nick, let's be realistic. These lads don't buy that horse for that money and worry about prize money. But there is people out there, syndicates, that need to run it and earn some money. So we could make that a little better.
JP McManus has been shopping again, as he tends to do just before Cheltenham, just to kind of bolster the squad, make sure he's got all bases covered. He's put a horse in the Champion Hurdle, Iberico Lord. Yep. He's double-handed in the Suprema race. He absolutely loves to have a strong hand in. How do you rate his chances of getting an instant return with his purchases this time, Maddie, who are?
A Meeting of the Waters in the Ultima, and it's on the line in the Hunter's Chase.
So Meeting of the Waters is that traditional Paul Byrne...
Yes.
Line, which has served him quite well through Corbett's Cross and others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on then, talk me through are these good acquisitions at the 11th hour?
David Mullins seems to think so, because he thinks that Meeting of the Waters is going to be running in a Gold Cup in 12 months' time. But Ireland, I can't get away from their terrible, terrible record in the Ultima. They never do very well in it. I think Dundois was the last...
Dundira.
...winner. Dira.
Dundira. One of the great rides, wasn't it, Paddy?
Yeah.
Ruby Walsh, absolute bit of mastery that was. Might even have been better than your ride on Pigeon Island.
Nah, I don't know about that.
So, you've got that to go against, but and the other horses, it's on the line in what's going to be a thin running of the St James's Place Hunter's Chase.
He's a quirky horse, that horse. Ran on very strongly last time, but still just missed out. He needs things to go right. I don't think you could trust him, but he's clearly got an immense amount of ability.
I'm hoping that David Christie's going to win that. He was agonisingly... done in it a couple of years.
I loved his quote. Was it on Road to Cheltenham the other day about how proud he was of his horse, and he really put things into perspective. It was beautiful.
Okay. Those are JP's 11th hour purchases. We'll move on and talk about Harry Cobden versus Sean Bowen. We talked about Sean Bowen's Cheltenham rides earlier. There aren't that many of them, to be honest. Now, Cobden has acquired himself a few more, and he's become a bit of a go-to man for rides that might just be a bit indistinct. So... he's picked up Handstands, as Ben Pauling revealed in an interview with Matt Chapman on ITV. Yes, I have to say that, otherwise Matt will get very cross with me. Very good exclusive. It's the news that everybody wanted to know. What was the other one? Noble Yates, he's picked up off Sean Bowen. And Theatre Man, he's picked up off Harry Bannister as well. Okay. So his Cheltenham is looking a little stronger than Sean's, but Sean could pick up all these winners at Vos Lass and Huntingdon.
Yeah, of course, it's been a theme to Harry's season, hasn't it? Formerly, he'd looked at the sort of quality and riding exclusively for Paul, but these days he's picking up outside rides, and it's a big boost to your chances if you see him jocked up on one. So he rides Cheltenham particularly well, of course.
Can I ask you, if you had the choice between riding a horse with a bit of a chance at Cheltenham, like one who's a kind of big double-figure price, but you quite like the horse, or you could go and ride seven winners at Foss last, what would you do?
Go to Cheltenham. When you've experienced winning there.
Would you have done the same when you were 25,
well,
do you think?
If you're in these lads' shoes,
yeah,
you're going to have to do it. You know, they're all about winners. Now, can I just say, these two lads are incredible young lads. Carrie Coblin, spent time with him and his family recently this week. Just lovely lad. Sean Bone, the same. If your kids grew up to be like them lads, you'd be so proud. And they're brilliant for racing in this country. Main reason, a lot of rushing to the start's gone on over here, and it's making it very hard for young jockeys, lads getting to the start, trying to bust their way into positions. When I was riding against Tony McKay, Richard Johnson, it was complete respect, nothing else. And these lads are similar to them lads. They're no rush to the start. They're out to help people, and long may this continue. Who'll be champion jockey this year? Probably Harry Cobden. I rode out for Paul Nicholls this week. I've seen the battalions, I've seen the strings. It's just the power he's got, but it's not to say Sean Bone won't be champion in the near future.
Just on that, do you agree with the Aidan Coleman, Harry Fry piece that went out a couple of weeks ago about races in Britain being run at far too quick a pace? Do you buy into that?
Horrific. The riding in this country at the minute it needs addressing, and we've got to ride that way to win. I've got to say it to Fergal sometimes when he's handing me the saddle, you're not going to like the way I have to ride this to win. It's just we're going far too fast. Horses aren't going to last, and it's up to the likes of Sean Bone, Harry Cobden, and a few of them lads. Because look, I won't be around forever. They got to just slow it. You know, if you sometimes have to accept you might not win to make it better for your horse in the future.
I was watching the racing at Goran Park yesterday in between races at Sandown, and honestly, there were a couple of races where I thought they were cantering to the start. They were going that slowly.
Honestly, it fries me. It fries me because people think in this country horses don't handle soft ground. They do. They're just not able to go 35 mile an hour for 2 miles. Rode in a bumper recently at Raisin, we hacked, sprinted, all finished well. Just need to slow it down. It's honestly don't.
How can you explain how important that is for a horse's development, or even with an older horse, not souring them when they finish with something left?
Yeah, like I'd like to run a few syndicates of my own. I'd like to do that in the future. I'd like to be involved with horses. I am sometimes going to say to that jockey, take your time. It's not all about today. If you win, great. But for £3,000, you're not going to be doing what you've said and what Harry Fry and Aidan Coleman. You know, there's nothing. We can't go to the stewards and say, do this, do that. It's up to us as a team in that weigh room to just use your brain.
My take on the way that this was reported is that clearly Aidan Coleman is right, because he has experience of riding in all these races, that if he feels that they're going too fast, he's not wrong. Similarly, Paddy, you've ridden in thousands of races for 100 years, and you're going to know what you're talking about as well. My contention with that was, I don't think it's the driving factor in the difference between the two countries in terms of their success at Grade 1 level.
Yeah,
I just think Ireland are getting...
No, I get that.
I think your raw materials point was much more...
But if you've got a, like Constitution Hill, or if you've got a... Nick, you've got to use your brain. It's not the difference, but this was where it could get a little bit worse before it gets better. People will suddenly realise that going 30 mile an hour in a novice hurdle is brain dead.
Why has it happened, do you think? Why has there been this shift in
attitude? Because trainers are under pressure. Owners are becoming more and more controlling to the trainer. Everyone's under so much pressure in this country, and if you're not handy, you won't ride it next time. Don't blame the jockey. I blame the trainer.
OK, let's move on. We'll try and work out just how many Mullins will train this week. How many does he need to get to 100? Six more, is it?
I don't know, off the top of my head.
He's going to make the 100 anyway. That's very, very short odds. Why are you smiling?
Yeah, well, you know, it's brilliant.
100 festival winners, can you imagine that?
No, I'll shake his hand, honestly, what a man.
Unbelievable.
Take my hat off to him. He's a lovely fella and deserves it. And, you know,
and he could train 100 more at this rate.
Yeah, he could. He loves it, and best of luck to him.
Let's analyse if there are any holes in the shorties. You want to take some of these on.
Which ones are you going to throw at me?
Well, OK.
Give me names.
Well, hang on a minute. What have I got here? Well, Tully Hill.
I've sort of been through my concerns with El Fabiola.
So, Tully Hill, are you with or against?
I think he's going to run a good race, but I won't be backing him.
Well, what about... But would he win with one of the other five if he doesn't win that?
Probably.
The Ben Pauling. Are you going to take Gaelic Warrior on?
Yes.
Yes, take him on.
Absolutely.
Unless he's got someone standing on the outside of the fence, I can't see how he's going to win.
Can you two just, like, club together and be my bookie for the week? State Man, are you taking him on?
No, he can win. He can.
All right. Lossy Mouth, are you taking her on?
No, I'm not taking her on. I think she wins easy.
OK. Maybe. Wednesday, Ballyburn.
This is the fastest Cheltenham preview there's ever been.
Yeah, Ballyburn, are you...
I won't back him, but he'll probably win.
What a horse.
OK, so we got three in the hod, even in a kind of, oh, we're going to take him on mood. You've still got three in a Grade 1 winners, and we're only on the first day and Wednesday. What's it? Oh, Factor File in the Brown Advisory. Isn't that the biggest certainty of the week?
He's not.
I think they should have run him in
okay,
the Turners.
Not. All right, so he's out. El Fabiolo, come on.
No, I've said
yeah,
I'll take
certainty.
Him on.
Certainty.
Is it right? So we've got four certainties already. We're only halfway through Wednesday.
The big one, Galop and Deschamps. What do you think?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm really looking forward to watching that race. Like, he's become a better ride because of how they used to ride him previous years. And they can ride him anyway this year. He's going to be very hard to beat, but it's a Gold Cup. He's not going to be giving it. I liked JJ Slevin, horse to...
Fast or slow?
Yeah. Like, you're only one mistake away from getting beat in that Gold Cup. One mistake between a lot of them horses. It's going to be some race to watch.
He's a neat jumper, isn't he, fast or slow?
Yeah.
Though he does edge out to his right a bit.
You know, Paul Townsend, he's 33, I think. He's won 3 Gold Cups. Isn't that right?
Townend.
Yeah, Townend.
Yeah.
Incredible.
OK. So I think we got to six. El Fabiola's certainty. He hasn't got any odds on shots on Thursday, amazingly.
Okay.
I don't think. Dino Blue and the Mrs. Paddy Power.
She should win.
Right, there we are. There's another one. So even in your I'm going to take on all these Willie Mullins shorties, I've got 7 Grade 1 winners for him.
I'm probably going to come out all the poorer for it as well, let's be honest.
That's even at your most sort of deliberately antagonistic or, you know, perverse. Anyway, it's going to be a rout, isn't it?
Listen, I could sit here and say, oh, I think they're all going to win.
No, I think that's the point. But I think that's the point I'm making. Even in that kind of mindset, you still knock
yeah.
7 out.
Yeah.
Who is going to have a good week, do you think, apart from the obvious?
Apart from the obvious, Harry Cobden. I think Paul Nicholls will have a good week.
Do you?
As I say, I rode out there the other day and, yeah, he's stay away Faye. Them horses are solid and any chinks in them Irish horses, they'll be there to pick him up.
How many times have you ridden out for Paul Nicholls in the last decade or so?
Once.
Just why? The other day.
Because it was the young lad's funeral, I offered to ride
yeah,
out. And
that's nice.
And do you know what? There was a couple of girls there, Julie, Lorraine, I think it was. They were there when I was there, 27 years. I thought, bloody hell, it was so good to see him, honestly. Loved it.
And so, because you were there for how long when you were young?
I was there 3 years, I think it was, that long, and then I went to Phillip Hobbs. Yeah.
Did it bring back all the memories?
Yeah, it brought back memories, yeah. Bloody hell, it's a power station. Clifford Baker, very solid man there, you know. If you look at his secrets, well, he's one of them.
Has much changed since you first were there?
Absolutely nothing. The stables have got darker because they've had the more creosote. I used to creosote them. That was obviously taken over, but it's the simplest
routine. I bet you were doing more creosoting than anyone
else. It's the simplest routine. It's the simplest routine in racing what Paul Nicholls does, and it looks so simple, and it probably is, but he's got, yeah, great team.
Do you reckon you've weeded more stables, picked more stones, creosoted more boxes?
Oh, yeah, I creosoted a lot there. I remember one day he came out and I was in the school and I said to him, you wouldn't see Ruby Walsh doing this when I was creosoting the school. He said, the only thing you've got in common with Ruby Walsh is you're Irish. It did make me laugh. I took it as a complete joke.
I'll throw a name out there who might have a good week, and that's Jonjo O'Neill. He's got some very interesting horses in handicaps, done very well at the meeting in the past.
Senior, junior or both?
I suppose both, but I was referring to senior.
OK. Those were this week's talking points.
Luck on Sunday. Brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.